I will call the Common Council meeting of July 21st to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman Dandrea.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderwoman Hanneman.
Here.
Alderman Barber.
Here.
Alderman Nelson.
Here. We have a quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First order of business is citizens' comment period. Any citizen wishing to speak, please rise, come forward, give us your name and address, and tell us what you want to tell us. Seeing no citizen rise, I'll close the citizens' comment period. Move on to approval of the regular meeting minutes of the Common Council meeting of July 7th. Any additions or corrections?
Move to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Motion carries. We have no hearings. We have no organizational business. We have no letters and petitions. Move on to G1, which is consent agenda. Any motion for separate action? Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So move.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G2 is the Senior Citizens Travel Program report. Mr. Ryan will not be here this evening. He's out of town and sends his regrets. He only had one trip. It's in your report. Is there a motion to receive and place on file?
So moved.
Second.
Sorry, Dan. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Similarly, the senior citizens have not met since March. Alderman Mayer, is a motion to receive and place on file?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item four Community Development Block Grant Program. Is there a motion to authorize the Director of Administration to send letters in support similar to last year?
So move.
Second.
Congratulations, Peggy. Nice job. Thanks, Sandy. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Who is that? Mike, is that you rattling your microphone? Knock it off. Thank you. Item G5 is a resolution authorizing consent for consent to collateral agreement for and a development agreement for Knollwood Legacy Apartments. It's to the development agreement.
Motion to approve.
Alderman Mayer? It's been moved in. This is pro forma. Yes.
Okay.
It's second. Not pro forma, but staff. It's not pro forma, but staff has reviewed it, and the Director of Finance and Treasurer was included on the emails and the redrafting that I did with the council on the other side. So recommend is to approve.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G6, page 45, is a resolution to accept an off-site water system for TID number 6. Alderman Nelson.
Motion to approve option A.
Second.
All those. What's option A? It's just to approve the resolution. It's the moral way. Option A with no option B.
Correct. There is no option B, sir.
Yeah, Glenn, let's not do that anymore.
Yeah, Glenn.
You put an option A with no option B. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Once again, we have an option A with no option B. This is item G7 on page 47. This is to install underground drainage on 116th Street. We don't have a cost, but we don't know what it's going to be anyway. So
I'd like to make the motion to approve for option A as an atom.
As opposed to
second.
B. Mr. City Attorney.
I would say subject or in such form and content as approved by the city attorney and city engineer.
So moved.
The standard form has been through the years to simply do a resolution as opposed to a separate vacation document.
All right.
And Southbrook Church, the entity.
No, wrong one. This is 116th Street Drainage.
Oh. It's different notes.
This is G7. Page 47.
There are a number of issues, and I think on the questions and answers up and back with the city engineer that there is a concern for future right-of-way freedom from flooding, and so that the instrument should be recorded so that it runs with the land, which requires a number of changes, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, the recommendation says pending legal assistance on finalizing the agreement. There you go. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. G8 on page 451. This is for you, Mr. City Attorney. It's a resolution to vacate a water main easement and to accept another water main easement. This is option A and option B, which should be just option A and option B. Mr. City Attorney.
Option A motion, add comma, in such form and content as approved by the city attorney and the city engineer.
That'll be my motion.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
This is option A only with the changes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Mr. City Attorney.
With regard to the option B motion, again, comma, subject to corrections and or technical changes by the city attorney and the city engineer.
I'll amend my motion.
Then that would be make the motion.
Oh. So then I'm going to remake the motion, or that's...
No, this is another motion.
B, option B.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor of the motion, this is option B with the changes.
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. G9, page 67, an ordinance to amend ordinance 2019-2370.
Second.
All right, just so the public knows, this is extending a period of time for the Polish Center. I will note that this was hurry up on the part of the applicant's representative. So we're happy to wait. Alderwoman Wilhelm. Okay. All those in favor of 9, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. G10, an ordinance to amend the code to provide for remote attendance at meetings. Mr. City Attorney, wave his hand first.
From Legal Services Department review and preparation, the recommendation is to not approve this. Checking around with regard to other municipalities and conferred with other municipal attorneys, and there's no one else out there that I'm aware of or that said other municipality or municipalities have adopted this permanent electronic participation in meetings. And within the packet, you have two open meetings inform opinion from the Department of Justice, and the March 16 one essentially starts out with stating, in light of current public health concerns regarding COVID-19, and second last paragraph, to be clear, providing only remote access to an open meeting is not always permissible, as past DOJ guidance shows. And later on in that paragraph, it references the present circumstances and COVID-19. and concludes that paragraph with ultimately whether a meeting is, quote, reasonably accessible, close quote, is a factual question that must be determined on a case-by-case basis. Then the March 20th news for immediate release from the Department of Justice again starts out in light of current public health concerns regarding COVID-19. Next paragraph starts with conducting open meetings remotely can pose a number of technological and practical issues. Lower towards the bottom of page 1 of 2 of that release, notes that may be particularly burdensome or even infeasible for one or more individuals who would like to observe a meeting to do so remotely. And later on the next page, states providing the public with an alternative telephone dial-in option for observing such a meeting so that lack of internet access is not a barrier to observing the meeting. So all things considered, and there have been weekly Wednesday afternoon conference calls with league municipal attorneys, and I could bring it up again tomorrow and bring it up again next week, but under all circumstances, and it's obviously up to the governing body, but my thought is I can put this subject over to the next meeting, but my current thought is under current times, the thought would be to bring an extension of the declaration of emergency back to the next meeting. The current one in effect, which allows for all this remote access and participation, is till August 16. So there's time for further action at the August 4 meeting. And the IT director is looking at me in the first row in the audience, and he's nodding his head yes, and now it appears that he's smiling behind his mask.
I put this on because it's an issue we have to address, but I don't have a dog in this hunt because I'm at the meeting, so so it's the pleasure of the council. Alderman Wilhelm.
I guess I'm agreeing with the city attorney that the current emergency order, we have covered this. I'm more comfortable monitoring this and updating it as needed rather than making this permanent. I did receive an email that went to all the aldermen voicing significant opposition to this, saying that the writer felt it significantly disadvantages the elderly and persons with disabilities who are not capable of independent travel. Additionally, it was disadvantaged residents who do not work a standard 9-to-5 job. Basically, if someone can't make it in, the part that it says that if you want to have civic comment, you have to be in the room. Is one of my main concerns. If we were to move forward with something like this, I would like the one section to add the allowing of the alder persons to read into the comments for citizen comment period, but I feel it would be better to follow the city attorney's advice and just postpone this and take this up with the August 4th or prior to August 16th with emergency order. Thank you.
Oh, we need to be clear here because you just mentioned something that's absolutely incorrect. Well, incorrect is not the right term. Misunderstood.
What would that mean?
Regardless of anything we do here this evening, public comment is only accepted in person. So whether we allow aldermen to participate and board and commission members to participate via phone or other electronic methods, anyone who wishes to comment still must come and appear in person. And the city attorney.
And that's why I said that I would add that we allow all the persons that we've used comments in the record, so that would eliminate that.
Well, but the writer, your comment implied that this changed that, and it does not. So, you know, here again. Alderwoman, again, I'm trying to make a point, and I'm being interrupted. So that
when you're done, I'll make my point. Thank you.
Okay, I appreciate that, because somehow I get insulted when it's apparent that, at any rate. Okay, so it's clear. It needs to be clear to people who write comments to us that we need to help them understand what's in front of them. And I'm not defending the ordinance at all. I'm just saying we need to be clear at what it means, Mr. City Attorney.
That provision is not in the ordinance. I understood Alderwoman Wilhelm to suggest that it be added, and in other municipality emergency declarations over the last few 4 months, there are a number of them that either say no citizen present in person at the meeting, and citizen comments will be accepted if provided in writing X number of hours or whatever time prior to the meeting and be read into the record or accepted for the record. So there's a number of those. So it could be added, but it's not in there right now, and I think that's what she was suggesting.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Yes, that is what I'm suggesting. I am aware of the current procedure and the policy that's presented in front of us. I think both of them should include the ability for citizens to give written comments to be read into the record under the current circumstances. And I cannot speak for what the person sent me. I don't have any control about what they wrote. If it's correct or not correct, I didn't actually even read the entire thing. So I was only letting everyone know that there was someone out there that sent an email to everyone because it was very late, and trying to make you aware of that objection about the current policy, the previous policy, or whatever the policy, that they were not happy with what we were taking up this evening.
Anyone else?
I guess I would ask that if when we come back for another emergency order, if we could consider allowing all the persons to read citizens' comments they received into the record.
Okay. Anybody else? Alderman Dandrew.
I'll just add to Alderwoman Wilhelm's comment in regards to the agreeance to look at postponing this item to the second meeting in August and waiting for clarification from the League of Attorneys to see if there's some clearer direction that they'd like to see municipalities to go in. And there's all kinds of issues that can occur with technology, and if we're going to mandate it and make it available, and what happens if it doesn't work, then, like today, where it's delayed, and then we're handling issues of complaints. So to make a blanket statement, we're tying ourselves up, and I don't know if we necessarily want to do this at this time. So.
Question, was that Alderman Barber, and turn your mic on.
Was that the second meeting in August or the first meeting in August?
We have no motion.
We don't have any. It was suggested to go second.
First.
First was the
first?
Correct. Yeah, it was correct for the first one.
Oh, okay.
Do whatever you want.
Well, then.
Is there a motion regarding this matter?
Table until the first meeting.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Move on then to G11 on page 93. It's a non-participating letter to Wisconsin Department of Transportation for installation of sidewalks along Loomis Road, estimated at $466,000. Alderman Nelson.
I would just ask for a little clarification from Mr. Morrow before I make the motion because of, are we good with this option A? Is that what we've, I mean, I remember we had the meeting there, we had, you know, a lot of back and forth with the state, and I understood there was some state questions that you handled. I mean, are you comfortable with this, sir?
So, Alderman, I believe you're confusing this with the item for G12 on Lover's Lane. This would be actually for Loomis. I don't know that you were part of this meeting, but we have met with DOT. We discussed, in fact, I brought this to Common Council once upon a time. We talked about possibly looking at both sides or just one side. I believe the preference was on one side.
Right.
This is a long section, 1.3 miles. If we were to tackle this by ourselves, it'd be a lot more expensive to do ourselves. I do anticipate that there will be a lot more pedestrian. You know, if you think about Velo Village, there's going to be a lot of residents that live up there and cycling and running and those kinds of things that's supposed to be the theme of the village. I anticipate that this will get used a lot now that we do have the ballpark open and so forth. So, does that answer your question or do you have another question? Okay.
No, that's fine.
Alderwoman Hanneman.
And I do support the idea of having a sidewalk along there. I think it's important, especially considering that is ideally our city center, and we want to provide safe walking, connections, and all that stuff. I'm wondering, though, the cost. If we were to take that sidewalk all the way up to 68th Street, connect it with the Oakley Trail, could that not be considered a trail connection and park impact fee money used for that?
So we can, if we were to call this a trail, it would have to be wider than 5 feet. That is a possibility. We could do that. We could use park impact fees for a trail. I would suggest to you that taking up to Rawson, which is in the vicinity of the Oak Leaf Trail with a bicycle, that could be considered a trail also. That's a good thought I had not thought of.
So that might be a great use for some of the park impact fee money that we need to spend, and this $466,000 would otherwise come out of our capital improvement.
That is a valid point. We have a lot more flexibility on trails, just trails in general pay 71%.